Good morning. So we have been going through the series, The Path of Life, and I think we have the slide up there. And this morning we are going to be talking about the refuge and strong tower. And so I'm hoping you guys are reading Psalm 16 and you're percolating on what the Lord is speaking in Psalm 16. I know our house group, we've been really finding it a rich time of diving into that scripture and looking at the ways the Lord is speaking to us as a group. And so, yeah, I'm hoping you're finding that for yourself as well. Since we have begun this series, one of my deepest questions has been in my mind is, who's our daddy and who are we to him? And I think last week's message on the delightful inheritance, Brad talked about God as our clan leader and who he is as a clan leader. And he is Yahweh, which means provider of all good promises. The one who creates and gives what is needed, who has assigned us our portion and our cup. A Yahweh assigning us each our portion and our cup to do his will, to his benefit, and the benefit of those around us. So it's because of our Heavenly Father's leadership and care that we have a delightful inheritance. And Brad talked about that no matter who we are, male and female, when we believe in the work of Jesus Christ, we have received full inheritance as firstborn sons, as heirs. We receive eternal life in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing right now as we live our life as inheritors. It was a great message last week. I percolated on that message over and over this week. I played it a few times and kept soaking in, what does it mean to live in it as an inheritor and who God is as a clan leader? It's. I encourage you to listen to it. It's on the website. Listen to the sermons over and over again and soak in the word and what the Lord is saying. Often as I prepare for teaching, the Lord takes me through some reminders about what I'm speaking on, this certain topic, and this week was no exception. I was reminded all week that God wants me to abide in him as my safety, as my refuge, and what it means not to abide in his safety and refuge. I can get very busy in my own life, and I forget to abide in that refuge. And in that place, I often go into the human propensity to rush back into Egypt, back into my own thinking, my own doing. So let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you that your word is true today, as it was true yesterday, and it will be true tomorrow. I thank you that your word does not change. It's not a word that will disappear. So, Lord, I ask that you would illuminate the word this morning. I ask that it would go deep in our hearts, Lord, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but you would take that knowledge this morning and direct it to our hearts so that we can live and have our being in you, Lord, and the word that gives life. Thank you that you are a refuge. You are safety, and you are a strong tower. And we are righteous, and we can run into that place. We are welcome into your safety. Amen. So keeping last Sunday's message in mind this morning, I want to keep that our view as inheritors right front and center for us. Who we are, who God is as a clan leader, I want us to have that kind of as our visual as we talk about safety and refuge and trust. The fact of the matter is clear that the Lord Yahweh, our clan leader, is our strong tower. He is our refuge. He is our security, and we can trust him with our lives. And I think it's imperative that we have a greater sense of the inheritance that we have in the Lord. A good father, a clan leader, would be called to keep those entrusted to him safe. from their enemies, and he would do whatever he could to protect those that he cared for. I think of Moses leaving Egypt and the ways God showed his glory to the Israelites, which allowed the Israelites to put their trust in God as well as Moses. Exodus 14:31 says, "And Israel looked at the Egyptian dead, washed up on the shore of the sea, and realized the tremendous power that God brought against the Egyptians. The people were in reverent awe before God and trusted in God and his servant Moses." All we need to say is Egypt, the word Egypt, and the word association that we would come up with is slavery. That's how we would think about Egypt. The Israelites spent quite a bit of time in Egypt, in slavery, 400 years to be exact, as God prophesied this, and then he brought them out of Egypt in a way that would bring greater glory unto himself, drawing them to the promised land. And this morning we'll be looking at the three verses in Psalm 16, but primarily verse 1, that have the words safe, secure, and refuge. And look at how the Lord Yahweh, our provider, meets this need for us. So let's read Psalm 16 in the NIV version. You don't have to read along. You can just follow along. But if you want to read along, let's go for it. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out my libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So Psalm 16:1 says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. The Hebrew here for safe or preserve me, O God, is, this is a big word, shamarini, which means to keep. That means to support, guard, or defend me. This is much like a bodyguard watching over an important dignitary or a shepherd protecting his flock. Something of value is being protected here. It is often used when crying out to be protected by one's enemy, to which David the writer would know something about, because he often cried out to be saved from his enemies. And the Hebrew here, for in you I take refuge, is chazah, which means to seek refuge, to trust, to seek shelter. I have fled to thee for protection. And this could be read, so we could read this verse again like this. Preserve me, watch over me, guard me, defend me. My God, for in you I find my shelter. I seek refuge. I trust you. I have fled to you for protection. Various translators say that this second part of the verse reads more like the expression of a child's dependency on someone who would protect them, rather than that of a servant seeking protection. It's like baby chicks being hidden under their mother's wing. That's how it's kind of viewed at. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. So this is very much a picture of physical safety, where one runs to find shelter and is guarded. But it also gives a sense of closeness and a place of intimate trust. I can't remember where I heard this, but when we are hidden under God's wing, we are in a sense right there in his armpit. And I don't know about you, but being in someone's armpit doesn't seem so appealing. But the more I thought about that picture of the armpit of the Lord, I was struck by that. Because I felt like it was kind of like being scented by God, that we are in the aroma of the Lord, a good aroma. We have an earthly aroma, which maybe God smells different. And we find our place of refuge here with the Lord. We are bathed in this his scent. I used to breed purebred cats, and what the mother and mother cat and the kittens would do is they would scent each other. The kittens would be scented by the mother, and the mother would scent their kittens, and it would, in a sense, be a way of protecting the kittens. So the mother cat could find them if they went missing. The kittens would know where their mother is. Ultimately, this is knowing who they belong to. So the kittens knew who they belonged to because of the smell of their mother. We know who we belong to because of the aroma of the Lord and abiding in him. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are being perished, who are perishing. Sheltered and secure in this place is the promise of where we are invited to dwell. This is the love of the Father, the greatest clan leader. When we live dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God, we know who we belong to. When we lose our way, when we stray off the path, we are able to be found by God. 2 Samuel 22, 2-3. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, he is my stronghold, my refuge and my savior. From violent people you save me. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Moses says in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And we read in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. And those are just a few of the verses that describe God as our refuge, our safety. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about him being our strong tower, him coming to our rescue. Lord, you alone are my portion, my cup. You make my lot secure. Verse 5. The word secure that is found here in verse 5 is the word tamak, which means to grasp, to maintain, support, and attain. If the Lord is our portion and cup, he is saying that our inheritance is secure. And Brad talked about that last week, about the security of our inheritance. And that's, we can't dispute that. We are inheritors. But what the Lord does is he grasps a hold of our lot that he's given us, and he maintains it. I found that striking, that the Lord maintains our lot. He maintains our life. We're not called to maintain it. We can do all the things that he asks us to do, but the Lord is ultimately the one who maintains our life as we find refuge in him. It's like this is a deal that is settled, and we are invited to fully live in this place with the Lord. God supports us in all that we face in our life. Again, I go back to the security of a good clan leader who is watching over us and caring for us. and the idea that no matter what people are going through, they know that their Father is right there with them. We can see how this unsettled the older brother in the prodigal son's story. I meditated on that this week. And when the younger son runs off with his inheritance and squanders it, he comes back and he's given full right as a clan member. He wasn't just a servant, even though he said, "I will come as a servant." No, the father said, "I will give you the family ring." And I keep thinking what the older brother was thinking. Here I served my father, and not once was I recognized. You never threw me a party with my friends. Even though the son was given everything that the father owned, the father said that, "I've given you everything," to the older son. The older son was eventually going to be the clan leader, because the father had given everything to the older son. His father showed him a beautiful picture of grace and mercy on how to be a clan leader, and that he will always be called to show mercy and grace. In verse 9, we read again the word secure, that my body will also rest secure. And the word secure comes from the word betach, which means assurance, confidence, hope, without care. It is a place of refuge and safety, both in the physical sense of security and also in the sense of our feelings, which means to trust. This security is one of boldness, which we have such confidence and hope that we are without a care in the world. So with these strong words of protection and safety, the questions we are faced with is, why do we fear? Do we believe our clan leader, the Lord Yahweh, our Father God, or do we run from safety because we don't trust him? And I felt like I'd like to invite Esther to come up and share a testimony that she encountered this week. And I don't have the other mic here. And I just told her at the break time, so she's graciously offered to share testimony.
Well, this word this morning is just amazing, because Jesus has just so been my refuge and my strong tower and my peace. I could go on and on and on, but the story. On Wednesday night, I went to bed, and I couldn't fall asleep. So, like about 1:30, that was the last time I looked at the clock, and I just kind of dozed off. And my doorbell rang, and I looked at the clock, and it was 2:30. And so I thought I was dreaming. I probably just fell asleep. So I rolled over, and about a minute later, it rang again. And I thought it was interesting, so I had absolutely no fear. That blew me away, because years ago it happened to Jake and me, and we were both scared. We didn't know whether we should get up or what we should do, but I had no fear. And so the doorbell rang again and again, and so I got up, and I just kind of peeked around to see, you know, who was there or whatever, but and then it rang again, and then he waited a little while, and then he walked off to his car, and the car was parked the wrong way, and then he sat in his car, and I sat at my dining room table watching him. I had no fear, absolutely no fear, and I just thanked the Lord for his presence. And then he started his car and went home. And just last night, I was talking to one of my sisters, and she said, you know, over the years, Jake had lots of needy people. He loved them. And we had people at our house. And so my sister said, well, maybe it was one of those guys that just wanted to come and see Jake. Who knows? It was an angel just to show me that Jesus took all my fear away.
Thank you. Well, hold on, we'll just pray for Esther. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that you have been Esther's strong tower. Lord, I thank you that you have been her protection and that you have given her peace. Lord, I thank you that she is abiding in you and you have cast out fear and her security is in you. And so we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing and showing her in her life, and we just ask for more because she's hungry for more of you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, Esther shared that at our house group this week, and I was struck by that because that was our message in house group. We're talking about safety, and it was amazing how that happened the day before house group, and we were talking about it. It was a great testimony. We will be afraid. I know I've had, I'm usually more the vigilante. I will chase after the burglar. That's another story, but I've had it happen in my life where someone has tried to break in and I have been fearful. So we do have a human feeling of fear, but the Lord has promised us that he will give us peace. And I think that's the biggest picture here, is that the Lord has been giving Esther peace and he wants to give us peace no matter what we face in our life, that's our refuge of peace that he wants us to live in. Our human default is always set to sin. We talked about that in the garden, and it seeks to find its own way. This propensity seeks to think that God won't provide for us, that he isn't true to his word. And so as we talk about refuge and safety, the humanness of our part will wrestle with that. And we're called to set that aside and trust the Lord. And that can be a scary place, to trust in the Lord and not ourselves. Safety is a need that all of us share. We want to be protected and we want to be secure. We can do all that we can to meet that need ourselves with alarm systems, video cams, and the ability to lock everything down, securing it all in place. And it was interesting, even when Esther came into our house, she said, "Oh, you have an alarm system." And I said, "Yes, because I like safety." And I lived in the inner city for a long time, and so being broken into a few times, you take precautions. But we also know that this need wasn't always met in Scripture. Physical safety wasn't always met. Our physical bodies aren't necessarily protected against persecution because of our faith. And we can look at the persecuted church in our time right now, and their safety is not always protected. They will lose their life for the gospel. Here in the West, I don't think we have a picture of persecution as the church and the persecuted churches do. We have an ability to worship, to pray, read our Bibles in public, and yet what if that were taken away? We were talking about that at house group. What if our Bibles were all taken away? And what would it be if the ability to pray would have to be done in secret? And there are many stories in the Bible about those who were stoned, they were hung, they were beheaded because of their faith in the Lord. So what is this safety then? Could it be that eternity is inevitably our greatest safety and our protection? Being with the Lord, the heaven in the heavens. I think of Jake, who is in the ultimate place of safety and refuge. His body was falling apart. There wasn't a refuge for him, but he has found this vast refuge with the Lord in heaven, and he's delighting in that place. We can also protect ourselves emotionally, walling ourselves off from being known because we fear that we will be hurt by others' careless words. When we put our trust and hope in another person, only to be disappointed because they have broken that trust, leaving us to flee inward, close the door, lock it, many locks, Or do we do this because of broken boundaries that have happened in our life, and we live without abandon with no restraint? I know for many years I lived with a walled off heart. I had many locks on my heart due to broken boundaries and the inability to trust others. And for many years I would say that was my wrestle with the Lord, of trust that he was safe for me. And it had to be my encounter with the Lord for him to bring me to a place that I could trust him, but I could also trust others with the things in my heart. When we run from God's spiritual refuge, and when we run from our enemies away from God, we are very much like the Israelites running back to Egypt. Isaiah 30 is a great chapter in seeing the Israelites' plight to find shelter in Egypt. And we're going to now camp in Isaiah 30 for just a little bit, and I'll read from the Message, because Fawn, I too like the freshness of the Message. I think it reads really well here. So let's read Isaiah 30, 1-5 and 8-11. Doom, rebel children, God's decree. It's pretty harsh. You make plans, but not mine. You make deals, but not in my spirit. You pile sin on sin, one sin on top of another, going off to Egypt without so much as asking me, running off to Pharaoh for protection, expecting to hide out in Egypt. While some protection Pharaoh will be, some hideout Egypt. They look big and important, true, with officials strategically established in Zoan in the north and Haines in the south, but there's nothing to them. Anyone stupid enough to trust them will end up looking stupid. All show, no substance, an embarrassing farce. Reads really interesting. Message. So go now and write all this down, put it in a book, so that the record will be there to instruct the coming generations. Because this is a rebel generation, a people who lie, a people unwilling to listen to anything God tells them. They tell their spiritual leaders, don't bother us with irrelevancies. They tell their preachers, don't waste our time with impracticalities. Tell us what makes us feel better. Don't bore us with obsolete religion. That stuff means nothing to us. Quit hounding us with the holy of Israel. Now, these seem like strong words. I was reading it going, wow, that's in the Message. I was thinking if Phoebe were to say to me, Daddy, don't tell me what is right. Don't give me those instructions. Rather, tell me what would appease me, make me feel good, prophesy things that don't exist. Don't show me God. I'd be a bit heartbroken as a father. But here the Israelites, God's children, were saying just that. It was kind of, God, we don't trust who you are. And we will flee back to Egypt because we know that they will provide for us. And yet, God has said, I will provide everything that you need. And the scripture goes on to say that because they relied on oppression and depended on deceit, that their sin would become for them like things that break, a high wall that collapses, breaking into pieces like pottery, and scattered, unrecognizable. Verses 15 to 19 read, God the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. And I think that's key for us, is settling down in the dependence that God has called us to walk in, finding our safety with him, our refuge, running to that place, rather to the things that we are prone to run to. You've said nothing doing. We'll rush off on horseback. You'll rush off all right, just not far enough. You've said, we'll ride off on fast horses. Do you think your pursuers ride old nags? Think again, 1,000 of you will scatter before one attacker. Before a mere 5, you'll run off. There'll be nothing left of you. A flagpole on a hill with no flag. A signpost on a roadside with a sign torn off. But God's not finished. I love this part. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show you mercy. God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones. Oh yes, people of Zion, citizens of Jerusalem, your time of tears is over. Cry for help, and you'll find its grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he'll answer. It's kind of like, I think of that picture. You have to be a breeder of some animal to know the scenting. And when the mother cries out or calls for her kittens, and the kittens all come, and they nestle in, snuggle in, the mom gathers them close. They know their mom's voice. Or when she's searching for them and she knows their scent and she finds them. He'll answer us no matter what we face. He answered Esther in the middle of the night, giving her peace. It goes on to say that they will hear a voice behind them saying, "This is the way, walk in it." They will throw away their idols. God will provide for them and bind up their bruises and heal the wounds that he inflicted. Again, we're reminded here of God caring for his children despite their disobedience. Oh, the love and mercy of a good clan leader. And the greatest refuge and protection of all that we have is the protection that we received is the work of Jesus on the cross. There is no love like the love of Jesus. He went to the cross to protect us from consequences of our sin. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. And the righteous run in and they are safe. And similar to the Israelites, many centuries before Christ, they were sheltered beneath the blood. On the night the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt. Exodus 12:12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we too have shelter and safety beneath the blood of Jesus and the work of that in our life to protect us from God's anger towards sin. And I think that's our best place of refuge and our safety is the knowledge that Jesus covers us with his blood. We are free from the wrath of the Lord's anger towards sin. Romans 5:9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So hidden, safe under the blood of Jesus, washed clean, our refuge, the place we live in assurance, without care, with confidence, preserved and watched over. Here we don't save our life, we lose our life. And in doing so, we cry out, "Preserve my life, O God, for in you I take refuge. You make my lot secure and my body will rest secure." And we have a choice each time we fear. Each time we like to hang on to our life. And I think after last week with the reminder of this great clan leader and our inheritance, which really set the tone for us today as the Lord being our refuge and our safety, that God is our refuge and strong tower, and this is a place where we live. In the fullness of our inheritance, in the grace of who we are as heirs, no matter what we face, we can find our security in God. And I'd like to end with Psalm 23 because I think that speaks well of our dwelling place of safety. And it was interesting that the worship team sang that. Paula nudged me and said, "What? They're singing Psalm 23. Because it is a good message about our safety. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. And true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through the death valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies, and you revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life, and I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And right there, I think it's imperative to see that we are served a six-course dinner right in front of our enemies, because the Lord is right at our right hand. He is right there with us. And so let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, the word that is truth to us. And Lord, I think we can say that we can say the scripture, we can say it out of our mouth, that the Lord is our refuge and our safety. But you, Lord, want to make that a reality for us. You want it to be something that's just not said, but it's something that we live our life every day. And no matter what we face, that we can have peace in that place. So Lord, I ask for this body, for Trinity Baptist, for us as a family, a clan members together, would you take us on a journey, Lord, to know your refuge and your safety? That we know who we are as righteous people, clan members with a good inheritance, and you draw us to the strong tower. Lord, for those who don't feel safe, who are unsure if they can trust you, God, who are unsure if they can trust you as being the great clan leader, the one that is out there to look after them, has your best intentions for them. Lord, I ask that you would minister to them. Take them by the hand, Lord. And lead them into the knowledge of who you are, Father.
Trusting God requires great courage, doesn't it? Because along this journey with the Lord, there are many moments of vertigo where we're standing at a precipice and the Lord's saying, do you trust me? I know this is scary. Do you trust me? And as human beings, we tend to trust the tangible so much more quickly or easily than the intangible, don't we? And I just thought of the Him on Christ the solid rock. I love the little line, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And it's so much easier to trust in things we can touch and things that give us a tangible sense of security. But the Lord's inviting us to walk past that which is tangible, take hold of His hand, to trust Him in the places where He invites us, even in the precipices where He says, jump. Jump, trust me, it's going to be okay. I'll catch you. And I just sense that that's kind of where the Lord's got us, in a place where He's teaching us, like a mother bird with chicks in the nest, teaching us to jump and trust Him in some steps that are scary. Let's stand together. I just want to pray for you in that. Why don't we stand as a congregation? Next Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to carve out a period of time at the end of the service. There's a lot of things you might be going, wow, you know, I really am starting to see it. I need prayer ministry in certain areas. We're going to really carve out some time for prayer ministry next week. And I share that with you because I really feel like there's a time where we're going to want to respond in a really personal way, where we're going to want to seek the Lord in some of the things that he's speaking to us. So just prepare your hearts for next Sunday as a responding time to what the Lord's been speaking to us as a congregation. But let me pray for you before we go downstairs and eat together. Father, we just confess that trusting is not easy. Lord, when you say, I am your refuge and your strength, that I am ever present in trouble, when you say that you're the strong tower, you invite us to run into you, when you say that you'll make our lot secure, Lord, we hear those words, but Lord, so often in the practical day-to-day, we struggle to believe them. Jesus, we ask that you would take us deeper in faith, deeper in trust, that we would take steps into believing that, taking steps into places where you're inviting us to take leaps of faith, take risks in faith. Help us to be willing to risk it, to trust you and take you at your word. We ask, Lord, in that place that you would give, like you did with Esther, that perfect peace, that you would show us that we are under the shadow of your wing, that we're under your protection. You would reassure us that you have our back, that we're in you, at the shadow of your wings. So we give you our fears, and we ask that you would help us with our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to release you with a blessing. If you're a guest here today, we want to invite you to join us for lunch downstairs. We're going to have lunch together, and we're going to dedicate our lift today. We're going to have a great time. So please join us together after the service. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace. And God bless the food. Amen.